CareSource, Ohio's largest Medicaid managed care provider, is reducing reimbursements for behavioral health, and the change is retroactive. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about what this means for therapy practices and their patients and broader cuts to Medicaid are Inclusive Counseling owner Alex Fields, Self-Care Counseling Chief Clinical Officer Darcy Stump, and KFF Health News Midwest correspondent Bram Sable-Smith. Thank you all for being here today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Alex, explain this change in how CareSource is reimbursing behavioral health providers and how you found out about it.
Yeah, so last week we found out through the grapevine that they were reducing reimbursement rates by 15% and doing that retroactively. So they're going back to the start of 2024 and telling us that we have to pay them back for money that had already been paid to us, processed by them, agreed and paid by them, and now we are having to pay them back 15%.
Wow. And I know, as I mentioned, CareSource is Ohio's largest Medicaid managed care provider. Alex, what percentage of your patients are covered by Medicaid? How many claims does this cover?
Yeah, so we looked at those numbers, and around 20 to 25% of our practice is Medicaid, equating to just shy of 300 claims a month. So it's a pretty big portion of our practice at this point.
Wow. What about you, Darcy? How many claims are affected with your practice?
Yeah. On the first round, which it covers about a month of provided services, we're facing 256 claims for just 1 month. And CareSource alone represents 10% of our patients that we serve.
Now, this, you know, we're talking in percentages. A 15% reduction is, I mean, it seems big to me, but what kind of impact does that have? I mean, this means basically CareSource is saying, hey, you owe them refunds from payments that have already been made to you dating back to 2024. This seems like a big hit for your practices.
Yeah, yes, it's a pretty astronomical number, and it's money that has already been budgeted, taxes have already been paid on. We've already, you know, agreed upon what we pay our providers, and we certainly are not going to take 15% back from our providers. So it's fully lands on the practice as a whole to try to find a way to reduce overhead and also pay out, again, a pretty astronomical number.
So what does that mean, Darcy? I mean, are you supposed to pay all this back in a lump sum? Are they just going to keep payments until, you know, they're made whole in their view?
Yeah. So I think this is one of the big frustrations amongst providers across the state, is that there is not a clear answer as to what's happening. Provider reps at CareSource are actually telling clinicians different things based on the individual circumstances. So there is not really a clear path as to what's going to happen. The recoupment letter that we received, it indicated that after 30 days that they would automatically start to take money back out of future claims that are being processed. Other people are being told that they need to submit checks in situations where providers don't have the patient flow to have future recoupments. They're expected to issue a check back to CareSource. So I think it depends on the independent provider, but overall, they aren't very clear and concise about what's going to happen moving forward.
Mm. Wow. Well, Bram, do these changes by CareSource reflect broader moves at the federal level to cut Medicaid costs?
The federal and state level. I mean, we're in a season of Medicaid cuts now, and this is just kind of the beginning. So a little context here is that last year, the federal Big Beautiful Bill Act, also known as H.R. 1, it's going to take about $1 trillion of federal funding out of Medicaid going to the states over the next 10 years. And that's just in federal funding. That doesn't take account any kind of state budget issues that also might lead states to look at their budgets, at their Medicaid spending, and reduce rates, reduce programs. And so we're really entering a season of Medicaid cuts across the country. And the bulk of the federal Medicaid cuts don't take place until 2030 to 2034. But even now, even before those big cuts really get seen at the state budget levels, states are having to trim their own programs in all sorts of ways. And, you know, a 15% rate cut is a huge deal. We've seen in other states, you know, just a 4% across the board cut has led providers to make difficult choices about whether or not they can continue participating in Medicaid programs.
So, Bram, we're not just seeing this with CareSource. These kinds of adjustments and reimbursements are happening in other with other providers in other states, too.
Yeah, other state Medicaid programs are having to make some pretty difficult decisions about how they're going to balance their budgets and anticipating this $1 trillion drop in federal Medicaid funding that's going to the state. So just in Ohio, for example, over the next 10 years, you're expected to lose $33 billion coming from the federal government to Ohio for your Medicaid program. And that's going to have a significant impact on the program. It's going to have a significant impact on the patients who are enrolled in the program. And somewhere between 176,000 Ohioans to 356,000 Ohioans could lose coverage due to some of these changes.
We're talking about the impact of reduced reimbursement rates for therapy providers and their patients and broader cuts to Medicaid. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. I want to note we did invite CareSource to be part of this conversation. The company sent us a statement and said, instead, it says, quote, during a recent review, we identified that some behavioral health providers have been historically overpaid for certain services. It also says we informed these providers that we need to recoup these overpayments and will reimburse them at the correct contractual rates moving forward. This is not a rate reduction, but rather an effort to ensure CareSource is accurately paying claims in accordance with our fiduciary duty as a steward of public funds. CareSource also says the company is committed to working with providers to, quote, review their individual circumstances, end quote, and that it remains, quote, focused on protecting our members' access to quality care and supporting provider network stability. And we'll make sure that full statement is up on our website, wbxu.org. Alex and Darcy, I want to ask you both, have either of you been through this kind of review before and received notice that you about, you know, overpayments, as CareSource puts it?
Yeah, we regularly get recoupments for things like perhaps a client's insurance terminated and we weren't aware of it, or maybe they had another insurance and didn't make us aware. So there are definitely ongoing times where money is recouped, and that's a normal, essentially, cost of business. It's a normal part of the business. But no, going back and having a rate changed like this is not something that we would say is normal. And, you know, we kind of look at it as if your boss said, oh, actually, sorry, I decided I shouldn't have been paying you that much. You need to pay me back 15% of your pay for the last 2 years. That would seem to be a breach of contract. It would seem to be just bad business.
Sure. I mean, and that's after you've already paid your bills and your rent, your mortgage, bought your groceries, all those kinds of things.
And made financial decisions based on the budget that you had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder, too, what would CareSource recouping this money, what they're calling overpayments? I'll start with you, Darcy. What does it mean for your practice? I mean, does this have an impact on the number of people you can employ, the number of patients you can serve?
Yeah, it's definitely an ongoing conversation. And I will say it's not just a conversation at our practice. It's a conversation across the whole state. We're a part of, there's a Facebook group dedicated to fighting this issue. And providers all over the state are indicating the ramifications could be going out of business, reducing their staff, not being able to continue to provide Medicaid services at all due to the lack of faith in this system. It's going to impact client care. There is no doubt. We've already seen locally providers indicate that moving forward, they will be canceling their CareSource contracts. And just to revisit, you know, we are serving a very vulnerable population. And to have this issue come up with a vulnerable population, it's just incredibly disheartening, not just for us as practice owners, but the potential impact to the clients in all of the state of Ohio and especially here in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Alex, what about for your practice? And, you know,
jumping off of something Darcy just said, it can take a while for a patient to find a therapist that they feel good about, that they relate to, that's really working for them. You know, that's a very special relationship. Can you talk about the impact this is having on your practice and what it could mean for your patients?
Absolutely. So we have issued a statement that we will not allow this to harm our clients in any way, shape, or form. We will continue to work with our CareSource clients and accept new CareSource clients. So we will absorb the hit as an organization, which we are, again, ongoing discussions with what that looks like and how do we absorb such a negative to our budget. So we are in the process of trying to figure that out, but we want our clients and our therapists to know that they're safe. We're not going anywhere. That is our whole business model. That is what we stand for. And specifically in Hamilton County, we know the substance use rates and the mental health rates are higher than the national average. There are not enough therapists to go around already. And as Darcy said, we've already been contacted by other practices asking us to take in their CareSource clients because they now refuse.
That's got to be tricky, though, for you. I mean, I understand where you're coming from as a mental health care provider because of the deep concern and care you have for your patients. But as a business owner, that's got to be really tricky to continue taking clients who are, you know, working through this organization that's clawing back money from you.
Absolutely. It leaves a very high level of anxiety. And it's very hard, as we said, to plan a business, to have a budget, to be financially responsible when you can't trust that your money is your money.
Well, we are going to continue this conversation after a short break. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. I want to give you a heads up about something we're working on for next week. Are you a small business owner planning to use the tariff refund portal? Tell us your experience. Call 513-419-7100 and leave your name and your comment. We might use your message on the air. Now we return to our conversation about the impact of reduced CareSource reimbursement rates for therapy providers and their patients and broader cuts to Medicaid. My guests are Inclusive Counseling owner Alex Fields, Self-Care Counseling Chief Clinical Officer Darcy Stump, and KFF Health News Midwest Correspondent Bram Sable Smith. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Bram, we've been hearing Alex and Darcy talking about this, what's essentially a clawback that CareSource has told them is going to happen. How common is that in the healthcare industry? Are you seeing a lot of these kinds of clawbacks happening in your coverage?
Well, they happen in various ways, but sure, yeah, they're not great, but they're not totally uncommon. Oftentimes, it can also happen in ways where you'll see a health insurance company retroactively deny a claim that had previously been approved. This one is a little bit different than that, but it is something that we see, and it's something that you know patients and certainly providers find extremely frustrating.
Well, Bram, you referenced President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill and how it's expected to reduce federal spending on Medicaid by nearly $1 trillion over the next decade. You talked about the impact specifically on Ohio. What are some of the ways you're seeing that play out so far since that legislation was passed?
Well, the first really big marker for cuts is going to be coming on January 1st. That's the date when most states that have Medicaid expansion will be implementing work requirements. So this is a requirement for people who receive Medicaid expansion that they also have to work. Most of them already do. In fact, one study found that only about 300,000 people who are on Medicaid expansion don't work, don't qualify for many of the exemptions like caregiving or going to school and have no interest in working altogether. But some analysts predict that about 4.8 million people will lose their Medicaid coverage due to this requirement. So it's essentially twice a year, everyone on Medicaid expansion is going to have to validate that they are working. So that's the big one that's coming up on January 1st. Ohio, the impact there, again, it's kind of like the low end estimates of the number of people who could lose coverage from that is 176,000 people, could be as high as 356,000 people. It all kind of depends on the how it goes, the administrative process that gets put in place.
Darcy and Alex, you both in your practices work with a lot of Medicaid recipients, a lot of people who are insured through Medicaid. How are they anxious about these work requirements? What are you hearing from them about the changes happening to the program? Do they have concerns about that?
We haven't heard specifically about the work requirements. I think the bigger thing we hear is they just don't know what to expect. They don't understand what is coming. It doesn't feel clear. And we've already had clients call us asking, are we going to drop them for the current situation that's happening with our rate cuts? So there is definitely a high level of anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah, similar. We've had one situation where the work requirement has come up that has caused some anxiety for a client. We have received phone calls inquiring if we are going to continue to take CareSource. And I would say for our Medicaid clients in general, a lot of our Medicaid clients have ongoing life struggles as it is, let alone the threat of losing their medical coverage. That in itself is a huge anxiety for our clients.
Sure. Well, and aren't there practices that just don't accept Medicaid clients generally? Alex, can you talk about why that is and why it's important to you to continue to accept these patients?
Yeah, by and large, the message that we hear in the field and different practice owner conferences that I've gone to is that Medicaid's hard to work with and they don't reimburse well and they're not worth the struggle. So I would say the majority of private practices do not accept Medicaid plans. And unfortunately, so clients don't know that they can go to a private practice. They feel like they can only go to a community center, which they offer great services, but often have very long wait lists or limited abilities. They often don't have the funding to pay their providers as much. And so they get a lot of providers that are straight out of school that perhaps don't have as much experience. And when you couple that with the fact that most Medicaid recipients are dealing with either being low income or on disability or from some sort of disenfranchised community, those people tend to have more compounded, complex problems, and they need higher quality care more advanced practitioners. Yeah. And so they don't realize that it's an option to even look for a private practice.
Well, some practices aren't taking insurance mm-hmm. at all, right? I mean, what is the landscape for mental health practitioners in general in Greater Cincinnati, Darcy?
Yeah, I think there is no surprise when we talk about the lack of access to care or the cost. I feel like that is the number one thing I see in the news, on social media, is how expensive mental health treatment is. And a lot of providers, again, you know, we go to conferences, we are on Facebook pages together, we connect, and this is why. It's because we face issues with insurance or we face lack of stability within the system to say, okay, we can take insurance and we feel comfortable doing this. So a lot of providers say, you know what, I'm going to wash my hands of this. I'm not going to take insurance anymore because there's no security in the contracts that I have. I will go all private pay. That leaves clients with having the full cost to pay for private services. And those costs range from anywhere from $100 up to $250 for an hour-long session. And that can really weigh on clients who need care. And furthermore, the more people that go out of practice or decide to not take insurance, it lessens the availability for people who do have insurance or need to use insurance or have Medicaid, Medicare. They're not going to have access to those providers.
Yeah. And it means more pressure on practices like yours, I imagine, Alex, with more people calling and saying, I really need to see somebody because I have a real serious problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, have either of you, you know, one of the things CareSource said was that they were going to work with providers to review individual circumstances. Darcy, has your practice been engaged in that work with CareSource?
So we did reach out to CareSource. I got a call and an email. However, given other providers' experience in these calls, we have opted to not directly engage unless we have legal representation. We've just recognized that they really aren't necessarily willing to explore options and making changes. They have their lines that they're going to recite to us, and it doesn't appear that there's really much that we can do despite having this contract. There's not really much that we can do in the immediate other than dispute the claims that we have.
What about your practice, Alex?
Yes, we're in the process of disputing, but the money's already being taken back. So it's hard to, there has been no offer for a payment plan. There has been no offer to discuss our circumstances. There has been no offer at all. There has been a letter stating this is what we're doing.
Bram, are you seeing, I know we talked about whether things like this are happening, you know, these providers do have contracts with places like CareSource. How black and white are those contracts? How strong are those contracts when something like this comes up?
I don't know if I can answer that. I haven't necessarily seen the contracts, but I will say that there has been kind of a broader push among the federal government, in addition to actions that states are taking to reduce rates and, you know, the looming federal cuts to Medicaid. There's been kind of a concerted effort to review payments, Medicaid payments that are going to various providers. This is especially in the home and community-based services areas. And the federal government has actually, you know, withheld or threatened to withhold payments within those programs as they review what's getting paid for, the services and so on.
And that's all an effort, Bram, to cut costs? Is that what that's about?
It seems like it could be partially that. This is part of a broader effort on fraud, waste, and abuse within the Medicaid program. That's an extremely broad term, though. And there's a lot of wiggle room about what it actually means. There's kind of a lot of emphasis on the fraud end of it, even though a lot of what we're talking about are overpayments or reviewing payments that were made to make sure that it's the right amount that's getting spent.
Yeah. Well, Darcy and Alex, I want to make clear that CareSource hasn't made any allegations of frauds in any of the statements that it's issued about this whole situation. Can both of you tell me about this petition that's been launched related to this whole CareSource issue? What's that all about? I'll start with you, Alex.
The NASW, which is the National Association for Social Workers, as well as the OCA, Ohio Association of Counselors.
Yep.
Yeah. They are looking into this situation. They're getting involved. So the NASW specifically has created a petition asking anybody that is against the, I guess, clawbacks to happen to go ahead and sign it. So I know there are, I want to say, over 1,000 signatures at this point.
Yeah. And this is a petition to the state, I guess, Darcy. Is this for the state Department of Medicaid?
I believe it's asking ODM, the Ohio Department of Medicaid, to really take a look at this. So it's asking them to pause the recoupments and take a look at what's going on.
Yeah. Have you heard a lot about that petition from patients, from people who are concerned about this, Darcy?
Not anything directly from our patients. It's been definitely a buzz in our therapist community and really just a call to action to say, people in governing bodies, we need help. We have this giant coming in and really not giving us many options. And we need some help from people in authority that have oversight to step in and go, wait a second, we need to put a pause. We can't just do this. It will have drastic impact.
Yeah. Well, and meanwhile, Alex, for people who are listening, maybe they have coverage through Medicaid, they have a loved one or a friend. What's your advice to them? What could or should they be doing?
Yep. I actually had a family member reach out to me in the exact situation. What should I do? My therapist takes CareSource. I have CareSource. So my advice would be to talk to them openly, ask them what their plans are. Do they, you know, so that you have as much heads up as possible. If your therapist is truly considering dropping the panel, they do need to give you some notice. But as you said, once you have a strong relationship, it can be really hard to want to try again to meet somebody new or to be even able to find somebody that you can afford because again, the reason that you're on Medicaid is because funds are tight. So then trying to find somebody that you can afford would be really difficult.
Yeah. Well, I have been talking with Inclusive Counseling owner Alex Fields, Self-Care Counseling Chief Clinical Officer Darcy Stump, and KFF Health News Midwest correspondent Bram Sable-Smith. Thank you all so much for your time today and for this important conversation.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Up next, what can roadkill tell us about Ohio's ecosystem? This is Cincinnati Edition.